together. So we're on, if you are sort of fairly new, we're on a track here that's going to take us right through the rest of 2024. We're calling it M28. It's a road, it's a journey that we're on. And M28 is not just some clever graphic thing. It actually just is a simplified version of, as you can see on there, Matthew 28, where Jesus said, let's go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them and teach them. And so we are really hitting hard the button of growth, discipleship, faith. And the book of Mark, as Ness said, not written by her husband, written by somebody much older, I think. We're going to journey through that for a little while until Easter, because we're going to learn just what it was to become disciples in the way that Jesus did it. And then after Easter, we're then going to wander into the book of Acts, which is the sort of outworking, really, of all that had gone on in Mark. So that'll take us through to a while anyway. So we're talking about fruitful seed, but perhaps I should just cross that word out, seed, and talk about fruitful life, you and I, because that's what we want. We don't just want to pass time for the years that we're here. We want them to count, to be significant in every facet of our lives. So let me just read something here from Mark chapter 4, a story, whether you read the Bible or not, you may be fairly familiar with. Let me read it. Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still others fell on good soil, and it came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. That's fruitful. And Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. And he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Interesting statement. Then Jesus said to them, do you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? So this is a key one. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Great. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those conversations, you know, whether, I don't know, a party or something like this, and somebody's talked about superpower. What would your superpower be? I don't know, I'd just nudge the person next to you and answer the question. Sorry, Stella, you're on your own there, so talk to yourself. What would your superpower be? A few interesting ones, I don't know. If you've watched Harry Potter, you'd have the invisibility cloak or something like that. Well, let me tell you something here. I have my superpower. Thank you. And it was my darling wife, Jane, that observed it many years ago. Why are you laughing? And there may be others who have this superpower, but it's a real gift that I use constantly. Selective hearing. Right, babe? You see, all the blokes are going, yeah, mate, drop me in it here, mate, thank you. There's this sort of God-given gift, isn't there? That sort of filters it. So when it's like, would you like a cuppa? Oh, that goes straight in, doesn't it? Thank you, Lord, for the gift of hearing to get that. Selective hearing. What a great superpower. You see, the reason I say that is because quite a lot of the teaching of Jesus is about hearing. And I'm differentiating between listening and hearing. This parable, although we would predominantly see it as something to do with seed sowing, which obviously this picture is, actually the heart of it is about hearing. And as you gather from the language that we've just read, this was the parable that sort of trumps all parables, because Jesus is using this one to almost describe what the parable's about and what they are there to do. But the word hearing, so he tells a story and then they gather together, and in classic style, I'm glad they did. They didn't just go, he's the master, so we fully get what he's on about. Actually, they pause for a moment and they go, so don't get it. That's the message version. And what's the first thing he says to them? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he continues as he tells this story to use that word over and over again. 5 or 6 times. Verse 9, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. He says the word hear in verse 12, in verse 15, 16, 18, and 20. You see, how we hear God is vital to our experience of faith and life and God, in particular to our discipleship. That's why in your life groups over the last couple of weeks, you've all been talking about how we consistently spend time in the Bible. And if you've not got there yet, the next one about how we pray and listen to God. Why have we got them right up front and central to all that we're doing this year? Because they are crucial and important to us really developing faith and growth. Little whistle stop tour. Right in the Garden of Eden, when sin comes into the world, the issue hovers around hearing. And a question is posed that you and I have heard 1,000 times in our Christian experience. Because the enemy comes in and he says in Genesis 3 verse 1, did God really say? The minute you hear that little seed of doubt comes into your mind, doesn't it? Because somebody is questioning what you were trying to base your future, your decision on. And I don't know, 1,000 times in your life, if you've known Jesus a few years, that question has hovered for you. When illness comes and, you know, suddenly, you know, you conjure up all the verses and thoughts about God being a healer, but in the back of your mind, then you get that little tweet going, did God really say? When things are not going very well and we're looking at our bank balance and we're thinking, how are we going to survive through this month, this year, the future? And somehow we hear the voice of something talking about how God will look after us and provide for us. But then the little tweet in the corner, did God really say? And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. That's why hearing is so, so important. It was in the Garden of Eden. The Jewish prayer, the Shema, that's prayed every evening and every morning, the foundation of Jewish life, begins with those four letters, H-E-A-R. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. He is our God. And every day, any Orthodox Jew will be praying that, but the first word that will come out of their mouth is, hear. Hear, O Israel. The New Testament is just full of it. One of the many familiar stories that we know very, very well, because we've all done it in Sunday school on some flannel graph or something. The wise and the foolish builder, building your life on your rock, building your life on sand. The issue is then hearing so that you might apply. If you read the Message version, it's like, did you hear this that you might interweave these teachings in the pattern of your life? Obedience, if we're going to follow God, starts with hearing. So I'm suggesting to you this morning, this story is not so much about agriculture and seed and farming. It's about the senses. It's about beyond just coming and enjoying an hour or two in a gathering like this where it's great, nobody loves this more than me, but outside of that, our hearing the voice and the call of God into our hearts that leads us into a life of obedience to His will and His plan. I was looking at this week, and a picture came into mind. I don't want to hover around this picture for a few minutes and spend time praying with us all before we leave this building this morning. This is the picture. Very obvious. Just hear me now. Here is a boardroom. Some of you sit in these rooms now and then, if not regularly. I want you just for a few minutes to picture your heart as a boardroom. If you've never seen one, you sort of know what's on in there. You go in, there's a big table, many chairs around it, often bottles of water, there's a whiteboard, there's various other bits around that are going to aid whatever's going on there. And around the table, there are all the various departments of whatever the business is. Finance, promotion, directors, all coming together to discuss whatever it is. In your heart, every single day of your life, in your discipleship of Christ, there is a boardroom gathering. Even more so when there are decisions to be made or responses to be had. Seated around the table is the work self. That mindset of what you do for your job day in, day out that dominates so much of your thinking. The private self, outside of work, your own thoughts that nobody else really knows about, but you carry them. The religious self, that bit that somehow connects with the outer life of God and all that He brings. The recreational self, the stuff that we enjoy out of the work, eat, sleep sort of scenario that gives us that sort of buzz and life and focus. The childhood memories self. Because we're all impacted and influenced by those. That culture that we were brought up in that continues to dictate some of our language and attitude and approach to all that we do. And day in, day out, your heart wanders around this gathering of voices that come in and influence and impact. And you hear them, and sometimes you dismiss them, and other times you don't. You take them on board because it's got a greater impact on what you're going to do. As Christians, the thing that we've done is invite Jesus to the table. But the key bit is this, it's not just the invitation for Jesus to come and sit at the table, but what sort of a role He has within that heart meeting. Let me change the picture. It's something we don't often talk about, really, or the term, it's not something I've used that much, but there's been a message over the years that would talk about the Lordship of Christ. Some of you know what that means. If you don't, it's about what place God holds in my life. Taken from old language, the Lord of the manor, the one who owns it all and can dictate what goes on and what happens around there. In seeking to hear God in our lives, have we just invited Jesus to be part of the noise that goes around? And so sometimes His word and His voice is suddenly lost in the drowning sound of all the other aspects that come and dictate how we behave. Or in that lordship language, have we invited him to be the chair, to set the agenda, and to hold the casting vote? I don't know if you can read all of that. But Jesus said this in a different book, the Gospel of John, to people who knew what it was to understand sheep and all that goes on with them. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." When the shepherds would come into the great festivals in Jerusalem or any of the great cities, they would have their herd of sheep behind them. They might have the old, you know, stamp, bit of grey paint, they're mine, the grey ones are mine, the green ones are mine. And they would all be herded into a great big pen, predominantly together. At the end of the day, when the business has been transacted, and you've seen this on a million TV programs, the shepherd would just come and make his noise, sound his whistle, use his tone, and then green ones that were all his would come belting towards the gate. Why would they do that? Because my sheep know my voice. They follow me. Can you hear the voice of the shepherd? Do you know what it sounds like? Do you get his tone? You know, when people call you and I don't know, 9 times out of 10, you recognize the voice before there's any sort of conversation. Oh, Stevie, they don't even need to know, you know. Oh, Vanessa, there's something about the hundreds of voices that you hear that you can detect familiar voices that you know. Are you familiar with the voice of God? Is there some wax needs removing? A hearing aid needs putting in there? Does that fit? Or just we need somehow, not to do all those additives, but we need to just establish the role that God plays in our lives. Is he just part of the board that sits in our heart and dictates our mood and our time and our impact? Or have we made him Lord? In the words of Jesus, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You that are tuned in, put it in your own language, you that are tuned in, you know what I'm saying here, you get this, you understand the language that I'm using, the pictures that I'm painting. Those 3 years that he spent with those disciples over and over again, not just the tone of his voice, oh, that's Jesus speaking, but they got to understand, that's why he wanted them with them. So that they didn't just come and report at 9 and go home at 12. They've done the training. No, they need to be around him and understand him and feel him and hear his heartbeat and know when he's not feeling great or when he's a bit tired or. And it fits them because they understand and know. In the first video that you've used in your life group, the one I did about the Bible, there's the emphasis there that I believe. Why do I read the Bible? Because it introduces me to the character and nature of God. So I actually understand the person that I'm following. And it's not just about a set of quotes that I can throw at something when it happens. But I understand the way that God reacts to human nature. The way that he responds when people go, "On your way, Lord, don't want to know." Or people go, "Yes, how much and when and where?" Let's leave it there, man. Said enough. Papers folded. But I just want to take a few moments now just to pray that we would set Christ in the place where he wants to be. Chair of the board, describe it in whatever way you want. That's just my illustration today. But he is the one who dictates the pattern, the pace, and the agenda of my life. And not just a voice that I can call on last case scenario because all the other voices aren't really getting me to anywhere in what I'm doing. Just bow your heads if you would. And Luke, if you can just put some... Thank you. And I don't just want to say just a quick prayer of blessing and release over each of you. I just want to take the time that in the very clogged up lives that we lead, the busyness that all of us are involved in, the things that dominate our emotions, that they might actually come second to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, reminding us just how much he loves us, guiding our paths, provoking us to speak to other people, filling our prayers with the God thoughts that our prayers should be dictated by. Oh, Jesus. So just as this music plays, I'm just going to invite you just for the next few minutes, not just yet, to stand to your feet so that you understand what I'm doing here. And as you stand to your feet, I've asked the leadership team here just to be free and available, just to wander and walk and pray. And lay hands on you gently and just pray that God would be at the forefront of all your activities. That picture of him that's familiar with the Last Supper, where he clearly is the center point of it all, that might be a dominant picture in our hearts and lives. So Lord, as we spend these few moments seeking you in your presence, I just pray you'd unstop our ears, open our eyes, that we'd make you the Lord of our life and hear you above any noise, above all the ramble around us. And as we pray for people now, may your release come into their lives and hearts, I pray. Just stand with me if you would, please. And if the leaders would just begin to wander and pray for people. Jesus.